Hi, my name is Donna Rudolph. I'm the founder of Teeny Tiny Treatments. Welcome to Teeny Tiny Talks, a platform where we speak to individuals who are changing lives and raising children at the same time. I'm so excited for you to meet my guest, Dr. Benji Tehrani, or as his patients adoringly call him, Dr. Benji. Dr. Benji is a podiatric surgeon and the founder of Kings Point Foot and Ankle Specialists. He treats a wide variety of foot and ankle conditions, ranging from ingrown toenails to endoscopic procedures of the foot and ankle. While Benji has become an expert in metatarsal fractures, toe surgery, orthotics, heel pain, nerve pain, foot care, and diabetic foot examinations, Benji really took to his passion and created a life-changing supplement called NervAssist. This was really a result of seeing the effects of neuropathy in patients with diabetes. In our talk together, I hope you'll find a thoughtful, kind, and hardworking professional who really understands what it is to be part of integrative patient care. Aside from podiatry, Benji has played the piano since he was 7 years old, and I can say firsthand, he is like a concert pianist. It's a shame he can't play while he's in surgery. Benji is a hands-on dad to his two-year-old and is so excited for his wife to give birth in the coming months to their second baby. Hey, Dr. Benji.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome. Nice to see you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for being here. I'm just going to jump into your profession, if that's okay.
Sure.
I would love to discuss feet. Okay, a couple things. Number one, how do you get into feet? Because of all the sort of areas in which one could choose to focus on in medicine, feet to me are like a dentist, like getting into someone's mouth.
Yeah.
You have to be a very special person to not find it. Am I right? And wait, I just want to say, just because I have the forum, I have amazing feet hygiene. Like I am one of the few, but I notice because I'm so obsessed with foot hygiene, people who do not, and I would say it is most of the population. Yeah. So like what, how do you deal with that? And are you just not grossed out by it and you think it's fine? And how'd you get into feet?
You know, you follow your passion, and growing up, I played a lot of sports. I had a lot of, you know, minor, like played a lot of soccer, basketball, ankle sprains. And I always wanted to do surgery, and my mom's diabetic. And so my mom had a podiatrist, you know, as I grew up in Texas, and I used to visit the podiatrist's office with my mom, not every time, but I grew an appreciation for the field. And there's these two young doctors in their like mid 30s and mid 40s. And they let me shadow them one summer when I was like 17, 18.
Wow.
And yeah, they just exposed me to everything. And I looked into all the schools. And yeah, I mean, just like anything else, you know, podiatry is just another specialty. I mean, it, in my opinion, it's one of the best because I see everything from cosmetic surgery to diagnosing cancer, which I did last week. Wow. Sports injuries, treating celebrities, doing, you know, seeing kids and treating kids, doing trauma, so foot and ankle fractures. Just there's always something going on that's, you know, you're not doing the same thing every day. And I like that about it. And it's a little bit disgusting at first, but just like anything else, like when you're involved and you're doing it so often, it becomes second nature to you. And
is it fascinating to you now? Like
it is. It's still fascinating. I mean, just I've diagnosed a malignant melanoma, and it looked like an open wound. And I was doing one of the unfortunate things we have to do, a lot of toe amputations because of diabetic infections. And I was just like, oh well, he has this mass. Let me take a biopsy of it, and it turned out to be stage 3 malignant melanoma.
Wow.
And so had we not done it, unfortunately the patient may have passed. So I'm very grateful to be in the field, and it is a little bit disgusting at times, but I think it's good for TV and entertainment purposes as well. So that's what I try to do, try to keep everyone entertained.
Yeah, cool. Was your mom a diabetic your entire life?
Yeah.
And she was on dialysis for quite a while, correct?
She was, yeah.
How has that sort of influenced your practice?
If it's influenced more myself and then my practice because of how it affected my family, because it was the real deal. Like if the kidney transplant wasn't available, you know, many people die from, you know, not being able to have a kidney transplant, to go into kidney failure. My mom's mom, I don't know if you knew, she passed away from kidney complications from diabetes. So, and my mom was only 19. And so it was a really big awakening call for our entire family to really, hey, wake up, take better care of yourself, you know, especially for the diabetics out there. For me personally, I got into the field, number one, because of my mom and seeing what she went through with dialysis. You know, sometimes it's 4 or 5 hours a day where you're just sitting down, reading a book and hoping for the best. And there's thousands of Americans going through it right now. And that's part of the reason why I developed NervAssist, because it's for people who suffer from diabetes and are going through diabetic neuropathy or nerve pain and nerve disease. But yeah,
can you tell us a little bit about NervAssist?
Yeah, I it's a formula that I designed for my mom about 20 years ago. She started developing diabetic neuropathy, which is basically a nerve disease from elevated blood sugars that causes free radicals to form in your blood. And that free radicals are these small cells that break down our nerve endings. And that can cause numbness, tingling, burning, pain out of proportion. And so I created a formula. It's called NervAssist. You take it once in the morning, once at night. And it's not supposed to take the place of medicines like gabapentin for neuropathy, but I tell patients the goal is to be able to take this vitamin supplement so that you're not taking as much narcotics, you're not taking as much gabapentin for nerve pain. And it's been really helping. I created a freeze gel as well. It's all natural freeze gels, like arnica flower, turmeric extract, peppermint extract. And so patients who...
That gel is for
it's for general, it's just for pain in general. Like, I just had a couple University of Arizona collegiate athletes start taking it. And after like 2 weeks, they don't have shoulder and knee pain anymore. And so you could use it for diabetic nerve pain, or you can use it for, post-workout issues. I have a cousin, Dan, who's a bodybuilder. You know, Dan, a big Hercules guy. And he's using it after his workouts to help him recover. And so it's something I'm really proud of. And I hope that it helps millions of Americans out there who suffer from chronic pain.
That's so cool. That's really, can we talk a little bit about work-life balance?
Sure.
You have a wife who's like 19 months pregnant right now. you have a 2-year-old, right? Yes. And your wife is a major attorney. And you are a doctor. And I just want to know, because I know about you, that you are quite hands-on and you guys like are evenly distributed. How do you make it work? How do you do it? How do you have such big jobs and are also able to maintain raising a family?
That's a good question. I think a lot of it revolves around communication. I think a lot of times I've even read books on communication skills, especially two people that are, you know, professionals, one's a doctor, one's a lawyer. If you're a working professional, you kind of forget about, you know, the importance of actually communicating with one another and be able to create a schedule that works for both of you. We have help around the house, her mom, my mom. And some days, you know, I'll come home early to help, you know, take our daughter to the park, for example. Some days my wife takes off work and, you know, takes care of the kids, you know, takes them to play class. But I think a lot of it revolves around excellent communication and actually writing down your plans for the week. Like, we use Google Calendar like you wouldn't believe. You have to be like, you set a task, and when you complete the task, change it from red to green. So yeah. I think being as organized as possible and being really disciplined in your approach to, you know, not only taking care of your kids, but also being an excellent dad, being an excellent doctor, you know, being a good brother, checking in with your family. And that's, it all revolves around communication skills.
Did you grow up in a house where your dad was hands-on?
No, not really. I think it was more my sister and I, because my parents are, they immigrated from Iran, and they were so busy trying to like make a life for their kids that unfortunately, you know, they weren't really hands-on with us. We kind of, my sister and I found our own way to, you know, seek the path that we wanted to, go into the career that we wanted to. They guided us, but they didn't really push us in any sort of direction. They weren't really forceful, which I think is really good as well.
Yeah. 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 I always say to my brother, I don't know who drove us to the SATs.
Yeah. No, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I have no idea. Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
Yeah, your parents as well. They came over. Yeah. I think they're in their college years.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I bought an SAT book.
Exactly.
Literally. Yeah. I was like, I guess I have to, I need to apply for college. I'm going to need a check. And they were
right.
Like, okay.
Okay, yeah. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that's how winners are made, though. I think people, I mean, it could go both ways, right? If you're, you know, some people have amazing, I'm not saying our parents are amazing, but like they really kind of, they guided them because they've been through it themselves. So those kids benefited from it. But when you have parents that they don't really know, it's their first time living in America, and you're going to have to figure out your way, you build resilience. And I think from that, a lot of people in the world are highly successful because they have to pave their own path. And there's a lot more work that goes, that's involved in creating those successful careers for those people.
Absolutely. Do you worry about that for your own children? Like sometimes I worry that I'm a little too hands-on with them because I really know what's up, right? Like I'm super involved. Uh-huh.
Not really. I don't think so. I think they're too young right now to know because she's only two. So I'm still trying to figure her out. But I know for sure, like as they grow up, I'm going to be a lot more involved. No diss to my parents, but for me personally, I want to be able to help, you know, steer my daughter in the direction that'll make her the next president of the United States if she wanted to.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have the female president yet.
That's right. Scarlett. Yeah. Scarlett's coming up. She's coming for it.
Yeah. But we're on our way. We're definitely on our way. Can we talk about music for 1 second, Benji?
Yeah.
Benji, you are a concert pianist. I'm just sad that no one can see on this Zoom how amazing you are at piano. When did you learn to play piano like that and what that does for you?
You know, I think our entire family has been heavily involved in the music industry. My uncles play violin. I have two uncles that play keyboard. I play piano. A couple cousins play piano. When I was like six, my mom put me in a piano class and I jumped within a month to 2 months. I remember he was like, yeah, you're way too advanced for this. And so I just had a passion. I think a lot of it has to do with just desire to learn and the gene. For probably 10 years, I trained in Persian classical music. And it's still one of my biggest dreams to be able to be a music producer. Hopefully one day when I retire, I can pursue that. Right now, it's just a hobby. But yeah, it helps me relax. Like even in high school, I created music for our basketball team to warm up to. So they played my songs. And I think it's one of the more entertaining or enjoyable moments of my entire life. Anytime I'm playing piano.
Is it like a meditation for you? Like, are you just playing piano? You're not thinking about anything else while you're playing.
Yeah. It's like, for example, if you were a really good painter, or even if you weren't a good painter, but you enjoyed it, when you're doing it, you kind of lose yourself. And, you know, my life is super stressful. Like, it's not easy to grow a practice out of scratch. I didn't buy anyone's practice.
Right.
I'm starting it on my own in LA. Costs are out the roof. Taxes are out the roof.
Right.
You know, I want my kids to live in a great neighborhood. So like the expectations are there, but I always find time to either, you know, whether it's meditation, a workout, outside running, playing piano, you have to find something that helps take your mind off of the stresses in your life and just helps you hone in on just, you know, relaxing and finding time to take care of yourself first so you can give to others.
That's so cool. Is that what you do? Would you say that's your self-care routine? It's working out, playing piano, meditating.
It's exactly that. I get up, I do just 5-10 minutes of meditation. I use the Headspace app.
Yeah.
And then I have a Peloton. I'll do a 30-minute Peloton class. And then 3 days a week after that, I'll go to the gym, do some weightlifting. And then that's it. You got to start your day off right. You know, if you win the morning, you win the day.
Right, right. That's so awesome. Do you come into medicine from a spiritual place? Like, is it a spiritual practice for you at all? And working with patients, how do you view sort of the patient-doctor interaction?
I wouldn't say necessarily, to an extent. I look at it as if nowadays we don't spend enough time with our patients, I'll fully admit it.
Yes.
Reimbursements are going down. You have to be able to see a lot more patients. But my practice is more geared towards concierge style. I don't take any insurance. And I just want to be able to spend more time with my patients to get to know them better, because it's spiritual in the sense that once I get to know you as a person, what you eat, how you live your life, you know, where you live in your house, how often you go for walks, if you have pets, what the stresses are in your life. Once I get to know you better, then I can be able to not only diagnose, but give you a better prognosis and treatment plan for how you're going to get better. So in that sense, I think the if we get to know our patients better, I think the treatment plans are a lot more effective for them. And more so, they feel better about the quality of care that they're getting from their doctors. And I think that paradigm shift is unfortunately going towards the other way, but I'm kind of treading outside the lines and I'm not going back. I want to spend more time with my patients, and I think they truly deserve every minute that we can give to them. So
absolutely. I feel like that is just the sad reality. I hear it from many doctors, like they're pushing patients in at rapid speeds. I never get to spend enough time with the patient. I never quite get to know what the problem is. I can only see, I mean, there's probably so much error as a result.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the field of surgery as well, Donna. You have to remember, you know, there's a lot of risks that we take in operating on these people. And if you don't get to know them better, you know, they're not just a number, you know what I mean? They have husbands, they have wives, family, you know, I take it personal, but you know, that whenever they see me, that whenever they're leaving, they feel satisfied. They're like, oh my God, like he really got to know me. I can't wait to like tell him how much I feel better. And that's my biggest passion in medicine, is to be able to impact their lives in a way that they would never have imagined by seeing a podiatrist, you know?
That's so cool. That's really cool. If you were to give your 18-year-old self some advice, what would it be?
18, what was I doing? Don't be so hard on yourself. I think when I was 18, you know, I was always focused on, you know, always, you know, making A's and doing everything by the book and, you know, getting the highest MCAT score and not, you know, focused on traveling or enjoying my life. I think that's what I would tell myself, just to be, you know, life is going on around you all the time. Enjoy every moment. Be more spiritual. I think when I was 18, I was just more focused on partying and going to school. And I think now that I'm older and I truly see the benefit of meditating and taking time to work on your inner self and your mental health, I think that would have helped me a lot with all the stresses that are awaiting you as you get older.
Right, right. Sort of setting down the groundwork for getting older.
Yeah. Right. It's stressful for sure.
It's stressful. Once you're raising a family, it's really hard.
Yeah.
Are you doing what you thought you'd be doing?
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. If anything, I thought, you know, it's funny because in your mind, my cousin Matt always told me, it's like you always think that you've done, like you always underestimate how much work you can do in 5 years and overestimate how much work you can do after 10 years. Or I think it was the other way around. But like, there's so much, like every single year you accomplish so much, you need to take the time to step away and look back at all the things you accomplished in that 1 year. And I think that's important for everyone that's listening, because at least for me, like Matt hears it all the time. Matt and I have nervous cysts and I'm always complaining, like, you know, it's not, you know, I want to go. And then I realized it hasn't even been a year yet. And I feel like I've done a million things. And when I took a step back, not only for my practice, but also for nervousness, I realized, you know, you need to give yourself more credit. You need to pat yourself on your back and say, you know, I wrote down every single thing that I've accomplished over the past year, every January I do. And I look back at that, I'm like, okay, well, that's great. What's the next step that I can do this year to accomplish that is bite-sized and I feel like it can take care of? And I think you grow an appreciation to be grateful for the things in your life.
That's beautiful. What a good practice. What is sacred?
What is sacred to me?
Yeah, like some people have said to me that dinner time is something, it's a non-negotiable. They all sit down for dinner. What would you say is sacred in your family life?
The park.
Okay. Yeah.
It's the park. We go... when I go home from work, we all go, there's a park like two streets away. It's that.
Did it start in COVID? Is that,
did it? It did. COVID? Yeah. Yeah. It's that ability to kind of turn everything off and, you know, be able to spend time without thinking of anything or anyone else. My dad always told me, like, when you open that door to go home from a long day's work, work didn't happen that day. Work to you did not, you're done with that part of your day. You do not bring that into the house and let that stress and emotion take a part of you. But yeah, that's my most sacred time. I would say that for the family. And also, we don't do enough of it, but getting away, getting out of the house, going somewhere new, going to a duck pond, going to Palm Springs.
Changing your environment.
Yeah. I think that's where a lot of growth happens, because you are in different situations with the family, you're experiencing new things and creating new memories. And I think that's where, for me, having been to Chicago 3-4 times by car, New York twice, like, we're very much a travel oriented family.
We always say, like, it is such a pain to pack up all my kids and take them somewhere and go on a vacation. And we, every time we're there, we're like, this was so worth it. This was so worth it.
Yeah,
like, I'm 100%. Glad we never regret it.
Yeah.
It's how, like, honestly, not going out at night also.
Well, we pay so much in taxes that I'm like, we better go. We're in LA. Like, we'll go to Malibu. We'll go to the beach.
Yeah.
There's no way. Like, if you want to live here but not travel or go anywhere, go to Texas or Florida.
Right.
Save your money. Yeah. But if you're going to live here, you need to be active.
Yes. Yes. And enjoy yourself.
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay. We're going to do a speed round now.
Okay.
Okay. You ready?
Let's do it.
What is your best go-to dinner? Do you ever cook dinner?
I used to. My wife does the majority of the cooking.
Okay.
Go-to dinner. Oh, man. It sounds so lame, but really, it's like a kale salad with grilled salmon.
Yum.
We'll go to Whole Foods, throw that thing in the air fryer, the salmon, and then create a go-to salad. I always feel amazing. I don't eat garbage.
How do you cook it in the air fryer?
It has a setting for, it's basically an oven, but it takes maybe 15-20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's so good. Oh my God. So good.
Okay, cool. What is the last book you read?
Last book I read is called The Path by Tony Robbins and Peter Maluk. It's about financial literacy and, you know, how to make money even during the pandemic, and, you know, how to be more fiscally responsible. It's an excellent read. The Path. Very good.
Great. The best show that you watched in 2020?
I would say mine would be The Mandalorian. It wasn't last year, but I watched it like three, four months ago. It's on Disney Plus. Amazing.
Okay. Would you say your glass is half empty or half full?
Full. Always.
Cool. Who is your professional or personal hero?
Ooh, Mark Cuban.
Oh, I think you kind of look like him.
Yeah, I got that growing up.
Yeah. Yeah, I like him too.
Yeah.
Benji, this has been great.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Really awesome. I'm so glad that we did this. I think everyone's going to love it.
I'm sure they will. They'll benefit from it.
You have 1 minute to plug yourself. So please tell us where we can find you and everything that we need to know about you.
So I'm Dr. Benji. My Instagram is Dr_Benji. I post all about pain relief exercises you can do. I talk about Nervousist, and this is at Nervousist on Instagram. I'm everywhere. I'm on YouTube. I have my own channel on there, Dr. Benji. And yeah, we do podcasts all the time. I have my own Dr. Benji podcast where I interview amazing people like Donna on the other side. And if you need to know anything else about your foot and ankle, check me out. And
I can vouch for him because I had really bad plantar fasciitis, and Dr. Benji
did. That's right.
Yeah.
And you didn't even need the Nervousist. That's amazing.
Well, maybe I do. I mean, I have some lingering, but it's much better.
Okay. I'll send some of your way.
It's much, much better. Thank you so much, Dr. Benji.
Thank you for having me.